And on the next day. And on the next day. In John chapter 12 and verse 12, your Bible says, on the next day. Tell your neighbor, it's the next day. It's the next day. In John chapter 12 and verse 12, I want to show you what happens on the next day. On the next day, if the previous day was Saturday, what would the next day be?
Sunday.
All right, it's Sunday now, and I want to show you, on the next day, Jesus was adored with praise on Sunday. Jesus was adored with praise on Sunday. In John chapter 12, verse 12, it says, on the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast. Now many of us are familiar with what we call Palm Sunday. Many of us are familiar with what's called Palm Sunday. Others are familiar with the phrase, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Now these are the same day, but what your Bible tells us about that is it was the next day. And it was the next day after that private assembly with at least 17 people in the house of Simon the former leper. The 12 disciples were there. Martha was there. Mary was there. Lazarus was there. Simon the leper was there. And then your Bible says, on the next day, what kind of crowds began to assemble? Large crowds. Large crowd. This was Palm Sunday, or the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem riding on a donkey Sunday. And it was that day when everybody was shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Now many of us are familiar with Palm Sunday. Many of us are familiar with the triumphal entry Sunday. But not many of us are familiar with how did the crowds get to be so large. How did the crowds, which started on Saturday with 17 folk, how did the crowds, which started with 17 people on Saturday night, get to be in the hundreds of thousands to a million or more people on Sunday praising him with hosannas from on high? Well, when you leave here today, you're not going to have to wonder, how did the crowds get so big? How did the crowds get so large? Because I'm going to talk to you about Jesus being adored with these praises on Sunday. There were two things that God used to build these enormous crowds for the fulfillment of this prophecy on Sunday. There were two things that unless you can put the timelines together, unless somebody takes the time like Miss Linda would do, be able to do that for you and teach you about that, or unless a Pastor Bobby or Pastor Darrell or David would teach you about that, you would miss out a whole big space between Saturday and Sunday. You would miss out on the dots being connected for you. And so you could say, my goodness, that makes sense now. Well, what was it? What was it that God used to help Jesus be adored with praise on Sunday? You see, your Bible tells us that there were two events that he used to unify the people and to solidify the claims that he was making that he was the Messiah. What were they? Number one, the first thing that he used when they took those, that caused them to take the branches of palm trees and to go out to meet him, and to begin to, what did it say they began to do? Shout. Did somebody say they shouted? They were shouting, folks. They were so united and so solidified that this was the Messiah on Sunday that they were shouting the fact that this is the Messiah on Sunday. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King, the Messiah, the promised one of Israel. What was it that God used to solidify them and to unify them into these praises. Well, the first one was the miracles in Jericho. Between Saturday night and Sunday, the Bible records two specific miracles that occurred leading into and into Jericho. Now, what were the miracles in Jericho? Well, according to Luke chapter 18, verse 35, listen to what it says. It says, as Jesus was, what's that next word? Help me. Approaching. As Jesus was approaching. Now, if he's approaching, he's left somewhere. And where had he left? He had left Bethany. He had left the supper, the meal that was made for him at Bethany on Saturday evening. And now on Sunday, he's approaching Jericho. Now, approaching Jericho, what kind of man was sitting by the road? A blind man. Now let me help it for Bubba that don't understand it. If you're blind, you can't see, all right? How many of you, there have been things that you hadn't been able to see? I want to tell you, too many times I identified with a blind man of Jericho. He's sitting outside of Jericho, and he's begging for alms. And what do we know that Luke tells us about this blind man? Well, what we know is his name. His name was Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus. Now, upon hearing, your Bible says that Jesus was passing by. Now, why would he have to hear that Jesus was passing by? Because he was blind. He couldn't see that Jesus was passing by. You know, there are times in your life when you can't see the move of God. There are times when in your life and in my life when I can't see God moving. Oh, but you can hear the noise of him moving. You can hear the rumors of him moving. You can hear the commotion of him moving. And all of a sudden now the 17 folk that were in Bethany in Simon the former leper's house, now the crowds are getting bigger because everybody's talking about what Mary did. Everybody's talking about the praise that Mary did. And now the crowds have gotten a little bit bigger. And now they're following this man, Jesus, into as he approaches Jericho. And when he's approaching Jericho, the crowds are a little bit bigger and they're talking. You know, everybody's always talking. They're talking about somebody. They're talking about something. And now they're talking about this one named Jesus. They're talking about this one who could be the Messiah. They're talking about this one who's done all kinds of good things for a lot of people right there. And old blind Bartimaeus is hearing Jesus pass by. Oh, you're not getting this. See, he's hearing that Jesus is passing by. And as he's hearing that Jesus is passing by, I want you to listen to what the Word of God says about that. And it says that when he was passing by, the blind man began to inquire. He began to ask, hey, what's going on? What's going on? Now, remember, he can't what? He can't see. Hey, he's inquiring. Hey, tell me what this noise is about. Tell me about this, what I'm hearing. Tell me about what he did in Bethany. Tell me, this is Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. What is this man Jesus? I've heard of him. I've heard there have been other people that couldn't see that he helped to see. I've heard that there's been people that couldn't hear that he helped to hear. And as he began to inquire, that of what was going on, they began to tell him that it was Jesus of Nazareth, then he began to cry out himself. And in Luke chapter 18, your Bible says that he began to cry out loud, saying, Jesus, Son of David, help me. Jesus, Son of David, help me. But here's an interesting thing to me. You know what the disciples did? They tried to shush him. Shh, shh. Remember that religious spirit we were talking about? It's not proper to call him out like that. It's not proper for a blind man who's begging for his daily food to say to Jesus, come by here. And so he just began to speak it louder. Gee, I don't care what religion says. I need to see. I don't care what the religious crowd says. I need a touch from God. I don't care what the order of worship says. He's passing by now. I need this Jesus, Son of David, to have mercy on me. Oh, I want to tell you, church, whenever you get wind, whenever you get to hear that Jesus is passing by, it's okay to interrupt protocol. It's okay to take some for yourself. And so when the disciples tried to shush him and tell him to be quiet, you know what the Bible says? He cried louder. He cried louder. And he said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You know what Jesus did? Your Bible says Jesus stopped. Oh, my goodness. I believe somebody stopped him today. I believe that your spirit began to hear that Jesus was passing by for you, and your spirit cried out to him, and you stopped Jesus. Jesus stopped and turned to where that cry was coming out from. He said, bring him here. Bring him here. And when they brought him there, Jesus looked at him eye to eye and listened to what Jesus said. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? You know, as I was preparing this and as I was going through this again this morning, I believe God said I had the permission to ask you, what do you want Him to do for you? I believe that we can stop Jesus from passing by while He's passing through. I love it when Jesus passes by, amen? I love it when Jesus passes through. But I love it even more when Jesus stops and He says, what do you want me to do for you? Now, your Bible says this about the blind man. Your Bible says, he said, let me think. No, it doesn't say that at all. Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And your Bible says, I want to regain my sight. Now, it tells me by what he said, there was a time when he could see. But something had happened to where he could no longer see. Who am I talking to that you used to see the move of God? You used to see the hand of God. You used to see the presence of God. But today, Jesus is asking you, what do you want me to do for you? And then your Bible says, the man said, I want to regain my sight. And then Jesus said, oh, that's too hard for me. He didn't say that, did he? He said, hey, your faith has made you whole. You're going to see right now. And then your Bible says, immediately, the man regained his sight. Immediately, he regained his sight. But then, now we're talking here about how did the crowds get so large for Palm Sunday? How did the crowds get so big for his triumphal entry into Jerusalem? How did the crowds grow from 17 people in Simon the former leper's house to the thousands and hundreds of thousands, to the million or more, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Well, I want to tell you what contributed to that, what God used to that, is to use a man who used to be blind, who God made to see. Listen to what it says. Your Bible says, immediately he regained his sight and began following Jesus. Now listen to this. Glorifying God, glorifying God, glorifying God, and saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. And then listen to what your Bible says. It says, and many people saw it. You know, people need to see the miracles of God. One of the reasons the spirit of religion says that religions don't happen anymore is because when people see miracles, they believe in the power of God. Now, we don't have to see miracles to believe in the power of God. We know the resurrection from the dead himself, Jesus. But I want to tell you, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus came forth issuing the kingdom of God in demonstration of the power. Now, he doesn't want us to be unprepared and ill-equipped. He wants to release miracles today, too. Why? So many people will see it and praise God as well. Now, God won't give us miracles to praise me. God won't give us miracles to praise Pastor Darrell, Pastor David, or to praise you. God will give us miracles to glorify himself. That's what it's all about. It's not about look at me. Remember, it ain't about me. It's about him. We prepare the supper for him. We give the praise to him. We give the glory to him. And he's the same yesterday, today, forever. And he wants to do some miracles today. He wants to open the eyes of the blind today. He wants to open the ears of the deaf today. He wants to walk on water for you today. He is the miracle-working God. And so now the crowd gets bigger. Why? Because they could see the miracle of blind Bartimaeus has been made to see again. And now they're not even into Jericho yet. Now Jericho's a small place. It's not even as big as, it's not nearly the size of Stone Mountain Village. It wouldn't even make up a subdivision. It's so small. But from Bethany to Jericho, Jesus leads 17 out of Bethany, and now he's got hundreds and hundreds glorifying God and praising his name. Who do you think's leader of the band that day? Who do you think is skipping and jumping? What do you think it means to glorify God? I mean, that's something that comes down deep inside. I mean, if God asks you today, what do you want me to do for you? And you tell him what it is and he does it for you, how are you going to react to that? I believe you're going to glorify God. I believe you're going to praise God. I believe there's going to be some perfume up in this house. I believe there's going to be a fragrance from Bethany to Jericho. And now, outside the gates of Jericho, blind Bartimaeus got his sight back. But what happened when they got inside of Jericho? How many of you know this song right here? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. When do you think Zacchaeus got saved? On this journey to Jerusalem from Bethany. That's where Jesus went after he healed Bartimaeus. He went inside the gates of Jericho, and there was Zacchaeus. And through the healing of the blind man Bartimaeus and the saving of the despised, hated publican Zacchaeus, when he says, today, salvation has come to your house. And now this crowd that had built from 17 to hundreds and thousands, now they have blind Bartimaeus, no longer blind. And they have the thieving and the conniving and the stealing and the hated Zacchaeus, none of those things, promising not only to pay back what he's stolen, but multiplied blessing on what he's stolen. That man really got saved, amen? And so, how did he get adored with praise on Sunday? Through the miracles that took place in Jericho. You know, John tells us that Jesus did so many miracles that if all of the books that had ever been written in all of the world were all about the miracles that he did, there wouldn't be enough books and there wouldn't be enough libraries to contain them all. He didn't do anything haphazardly. He didn't do anything coincidentally. Everything he did was intentional. And the healing of Bartimaeus' eyes and the saving of Zacchaeus' soul were done to do two things. To fulfill the prophecy from Zechariah in the Old Testament, which would say this. It would say, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and he's endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even the colt, the foal of a donkey. These two miracles God used to prepare the crowds to receive Jesus as the Messiah. But there was a second thing that he used, and that was the ministry in Jerusalem. He used the ministry that he had once he got inside of Jerusalem. The second thing that he did was not only fulfill the prophecy, you write this in the outline, in the side of your outline, but it was going to force the chief priest to put him to, and the Pharisees to put him to death before the Passover was finished, because Jesus was the Passover. They had been plotting, how are we going to kill him? And they were saying, man, all these people believe in him. We got to get rid of Lazarus. We got to get rid of him. But man, we got to be wise about this. And now they're saying, hey, forget wise. We got to do it now. And so it forced the hands of the chief priest and the Pharisees to orchestrate the death of Jesus in the fulfillment of all of the prophecies that were going on. And there were three ministries once he got into Jerusalem that this was fulfilling. Number one, the ministry of weeping over the city. This is when Jesus began to weep over the city, and as he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city, and he wept over it. The broken heart calls from the blindness and the hard-heartedness that they had, and said, would to God they'd have known the hour of their visitation. According to Luke, as Jesus was weeping, he said, if they'd only known this day, the things which make for peace, but now, he said, they've been hidden from their eyes. You know, there comes a time when God tries to show you something, or God tries to show me something for so long, and if we just won't see it, they'll be hidden from us forever. And so he's weeping over the city. But number two, the cleansing in the temple. He cleanses the temple for the second time. The first time was when he began his ministry in John chapter 2. And now this time, he's going to cleanse it again. And this time, they ask him a question. And then he says, well, I'll answer your question if you'll answer mine. Was the baptism of John from heaven or was it from men? Was it of God or was it of the devil? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, hey, if we say it's from heaven, he'll say, well, why didn't you believe him and repent? But if you say it's from men, all the people are going to stone us to death because they're convinced that John was a prophet. And so they answered Jesus and said, we don't know where it came from. So Jesus said, because you're lying through your teeth, I'm not going to tell you by what authority I'm able to do these things either. He cleansed the temple at that point for the second time. He wept over the city. But then the third thing that he did as he got into Jerusalem was his teaching about the kingdom. He spent this crucial last hours before his being turned over and tried and crucified. It says in Luke 19:47, and he was what? Teaching how often? Daily, every moment in the temple. Now, what was he teaching? He was teaching about the kingdom of God. He was teaching about how they could know that the kingdom of God was at hand. And those who had not entered in could enter in. Those who had entered in could fully enter into the realm of the ungrieved spirit in their life. I want to tell you, your Bible says it was the miracles and it was the messages that Jesus did that caused the people to see the power of God. And folks, that's the kind of ministry that I want. I want people to be able to see the miracles of God. I want people to be able to fall under conviction at the preaching of the Word of God. And the marriage of the Spirit and the Word go together. Amen? And that produces a demonstration of the Spirit and the power of Almighty God. Now, I've got to bring this abruptly to an end because I think the Spirit is asking somebody, what do you want Him to do for you today? What do you want Him to do for you today? Now, if you were blind, sitting in darkness, and the one who could change your blindness and remove your darkness was passing by and He asked you that, I believe it'd be a spontaneous answer. I want to see again. But I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what you need from Him today. But I want to tell you, Jesus is approaching your life. Jesus is about to enter into the gates of your life. The only question is, are you going to stop Him by crying out to Him? And if you need to be saved, are you going to let salvation come to your house today?
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.